May be seated. We'll turn again in our Bibles to Ezra chapter 5. We have been preaching through the main themes. We've been really, up until now, we've been picking out a main theme from each chapter. As we come further into the book, we may look at several things in each, some of the chapters, or each of them after the sixth one. But we've been picking, up until now, we've just been picking out a summary of each chapter, the main theme, and preaching on that theme. And if I was to sum up the fifth chapter, I would describe it as the continuation of the work. That is the work of building the temple of the Lord. In verse 2, you will see that it says, "Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God," that already laid the foundation, that already built or established the altar. But now they rise up to begin to build the house of God. Look at verse 8. And particularly the final part of verse 8. "This work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands." And so there was a continuation of the work of rebuilding the temple of the Lord. And the reason why it was a continuation and a recommencement was because, of course, that the work had ceased. That's where we finished last Lord's Day morning. Having traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem, the Jews quickly relaid the foundation and rebuilt the altar for sacrifice. But due to the threats of the enemy that we read about in chapter 4, and the slanderous lies that they told about the builders to the new king, the work was stopped by force and by power. The end of verse 23 is where we finished last Lord's Day morning. They made them to cease by force and power. The word force replies to physical force. They threatened them physically that they must stop building the temple. The word power means the power of persuasion or power of reasoning. They reasoned with the king, and the king sent the decree that declared that they must stop. And verse 24 tells us, "Then ceased the work of the house of God which is in or at Jerusalem." So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And commentators estimate that period of suspension, the foundation was laid, the altar was set, but that's where it stopped. I'm sure you've driven past various building sites and you've seen part of a house that's built, but it doesn't seem to get any further. I remember we returned to Northern Ireland in 2009 to Antrim, and that was at the time of, they called it the credit crunch. And when I travelled from our house in Antrim town to my parents, I used to travel through Tardry Forest. And there's a little winding road that runs through the forest. It takes a dip and then you drive right up almost to the top of the forest, and then you're coming back down the other side to where my parents live. And there was a house, a building site there of one house. And the children were young and they used to always comment on it. And they'd always say to me, "Is that a haunted house, Daddy?" But it had the main shell of the house. There were no windows, there were no doors, and it just sat there, and it sat there for years. Because had the builder laid another brick on it, it was costing him money every time he would have laid another brick or put a window in. It would have cost them more to finish it than to leave it as it was. And it just sat for years. Just sat as it was. And in recent times, I've driven through that forest.
again, and the house is now finished. Well, that was like the temple. They got so far, and it just ceased. It stopped, and it lay, or it remained in the state it was in, the foundation, the altar. But it didn't seem to go any further. And commentators estimate from the various kings that are mentioned that it was 15 years the work was suspended. From 9 to 15 years. But God does not permit inactivity to remain in His house or among His true redeemed people. He will not allow us to remain inactive continually or forever. There may be inactivity for a period of time, but the Lord will move to bring about circumstances that the work will recommence again. And in chapter 5, the Lord brought about the circumstances whereby the work was recommenced. And what were those circumstances? Well, verse 1 tells you. Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. The word then could be translated after. So after the work ceased, and when Darius, verse 24 of chapter 4, when Darius came to the throne in the second year, God commissioned, God called Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, and they began to preach unto the Jews. If you turn over to Haggai chapter 1, these are right, almost right at the end of the Old Testament. Malachi is the final book of the Old Testament. And just before Malachi, you have Zechariah. And before Zechariah, you have Haggai. Look at Haggai chapter 1 and the verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Look at Zechariah 1 verse 1. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. These are prophets and books that should be read in conjunction with and alongside the book of Ezra. When you read the book of Ezra and you come to chapter 4 and 5, you should read alongside these chapters the two chapters of Haggai, particularly Haggai, but also Zechariah. They started preaching in the second year of Darius the king, and their message was for the builders. With the powerful ministry of God's Word and the application of God's Word from Haggai and Zechariah, the people went back to work. Look at verse 2. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. It was the preaching of God's Word that led to the stirring of the people to recommence and continue the work of the building of the house of the Lord. And I want to impress that upon you this morning. It is the preaching of God's Word that moves and stirs the people of God to service. Preaching is the chief means of grace. It calls sinners to repentance. It stirs God's people to serve Him. It teaches us in the knowledge of God's Word. It is the chief means of grace, and it is the means that causes God's people to be moved to serve Him. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus?
Their hearts were heavy, they were sad, they were walking away from Jerusalem. But when Jesus drew alongside them, He expounded or He preached to them from all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. That caused their heart to burn, and they returned to the place of service with the apostles once again. God's Word is so important. The preaching of God's Word is so important. And that's why it should be the central theme and focus of our worship services. I want this morning to highlight for you some of the aspects of Haggai and Zechariah's preaching that moved the people to continue the work for God. And we're really going to, well, we're not leaving Ezra, but we're going to move over to Haggai and Zechariah this morning. I want you to turn over to Haggai chapter 1 again. What type of preaching moved the people to continue working for the Lord? Well, the first thing I'd say about the preaching was this. It exposed their sin of neglect. It exposed the sin of neglect. Let's just go down some of the verses in Haggai chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet." I want you to notice, it wasn't the word of Haggai. It was the word of the Lord by Haggai. Haggai was only the messenger. And he delivered to them the word of the Lord. My friend, when the word of the Lord offends you, or when the word of the Lord speaks personally to you, or when the word of the Lord rebukes you or challenges you, don't blame the messenger. Because the messenger is only speaking what the Lord has laid on his heart. Haggai was the messenger. But the word and the message came from the Lord Himself. And then I want you to notice in verse 2, the Lord through Haggai exposes or shows the attitude of the people for this period of roughly between 9 and 15 years. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say..." Now this is what the people said. "The time has not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. The time's not right. It's not the time now or these past 9-15 years to continue the building of the Lord's house. And we'll just remain in the position that we're in. The time's not right. We will not continue to build or work upon the house of the Lord." That was their attitude. And they were putting off the service of the Lord because they were saying, "The time isn't right." Notice the Lord's response through Haggai. In verse 3, it just emphasizes it again. "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai." It wasn't Haggai just standing up to, as we would sometimes say, give his own views and to give his own opinions of this needs done or that needs done and you're not doing this and you're not doing that. That's not what was going on here. Haggai wasn't giving his own charges or his own opinions. It was the word of the Lord through Haggai. And the Lord repeats it. The message is from the Lord, and Haggai is only the messenger. Look at verse 4. The Lord puts this question, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?" "In this house, that is God's house, lie waste. For those 9 to 15 years, they had put their time and their efforts and their labors into building their own houses. And their own houses were finished. They were sealed. They had their comfort and their grandeur. And they put all their priority into the, their own homes and their own business and their own duties, and the Lord's house lay a heap of waste. The Lord's saying, so it's time for you. You dwell in comfort, and my house is lying in waste. And here is their sin. Their sin was that they prioritized their own business and their own homes over the work of the house of the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. Let me say that it is right and it is proper. In fact, it is a God-given duty to work and provide for our families and to keep our homes respectable and to do our business with commitment, honesty, integrity, and hard work. I'm going to repeat that. It is right. It is proper. In fact, it is a God-given duty to work, to provide for our families, to keep our homes respectable, and to do our business with commitment, integrity, and hard work. But the Jews of Zerubbabel's day had so prioritized their own business and their own homes that they completely neglected the house of the Lord, that it lay still in ruins and in waste. And that was the sin that the Lord was rebuking. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. I'm challenging you. Is it right? Is it proper? Is it God-honoring that you're so taken up with the temporal affairs of life that surround you and your own home and your own duties in life that you've completely neglected the work of God? You need to consider your ways. I wonder, is the Lord challenging someone this morning that you have been so taken up with the temporal affairs of your life that you're neglecting the work of the Lord's house? The Lord would say to you this morning, it's time to consider your ways. Look at verse 6. He says, ye have sown much and bring in little, ye eat, but ye have not enough. Isn't that the spirit of the age which we live? Much sowing, but people have little to show for it. They eat and they drink, but they're never satisfied. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. The Lord's saying, while this attitude continues, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never have anything to show for it. Because the Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the temporal things in life, I'll add them unto you, and you'll want and lack for nothing, and you'll be truly satisfied when you seek me and my kingdom first. That's what he's saying. Haggai begins by laying the axe to the root. Here's the root of the problem. You've been neglecting the Lord's work, neglecting the Lord's house for your own aims, your own goals, and your own duties in life. And there are times when preaching should and will have to expose the neglect and the sin of God's house and God's professing people. That's where Haggai started. And that preaching, let me just point this out. Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, they didn't take, as we would say, the huff with Haggai and say, oh boy, he's getting at me. And I'm not going to listen to him. And I'm not going to have anything to do with what the prophet's saying. They'll just ignore him. No, they took it to heart. And they recommenced the work of God again. When the message of the Lord comes as a challenge and a rebuke, let's take it as from the Lord. That's where Haggai began.
He exposed the sin of neglect. But then there was something else about the preaching of the prophets. It not only exposed the sin of neglect, but it emphasized the need of the Holy Spirit. You turn over to Zechariah chapter 4. I mentioned this verse at the end of the message last Lord's Day morning. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered, this is the angel. If you read the early verses of the chapter, the angel came and wakened Zechariah out of his sleep and he spoke to him. Then the angel answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. So do you see the theme, the reoccurring theme, the emphasis? It's not Zechariah now speaking to Zerubbabel and say, look, this is what I think you should do. It's God putting the message, His message, on the heart of His prophet. And the prophet, Zechariah in this case, bringing God's word unto Zerubbabel, who was the governor and the leader of the work. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. It was a personal message. Do you see that? I'm just outlining that as we go. The prophet had a personal message for Zerubbabel. And the Lord at times has a personal word for the people. It says, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The work of God and the work for God is not carried out in, continued or completed by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what did this refer to? It was not only a personal message, it was a particular message. Because I want you to run your eye down to verse 7 and verse 9. Verse 7, it says, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. What is the headstone? When we build buildings, we lay a foundation stone. There's some of them in the walls. They're not really foundation stones, but they're to mark the commencement of the building program. That's the foundation stone. Well, the headstone was the final stone that was put in place when the building was complete. So that not only foundation stone, but then a headstone. And that was put in place at the conclusion of the building program. And in verse 7 it's saying that Zerubbabel, he would bring forth the headstone. He would be the man who would complete the project. And that's confirmed in verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. It was under Zerubbabel that the foundation was laid. And his hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know the Lord of hosts who has sent me unto you. Do you see what this message about the Holy Spirit refers to? It's the building of God's house. And the Lord is particularly saying to Zerubbabel through Zechariah, you commence the work. And you will finish the work. But for 9 to 15 years, there's been nothing done. You need to get back to the work if you're going to finish it and fulfill the commission that I gave to you. And in building the house of the Lord, Zechariah in chapter 4 and verse 6 is saying, Zerubbabel, it's not by night. And it's not by power. Do you see those two words, might and power? They are the same Hebrew words as are recorded in Ezra 4 and verse 23. He made them to cease by force and power, by might and power. In Zechariah 4 and 6, they're the same Hebrew words. It refers to physical force or power of persuasion, earthly power. That's how the enemy operates. The enemy threatens physically. The enemy will
try to talk to the king or the governors or the rulers and impose a law stopping you from doing the work. That's how they operate. But that's not how God's children operate, and we'll see the work done. We'll never convert a soul by physical force or power. We'll never convert a soul by the enticing words of man's reason. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. And what Zechariah is reminding Zerubbabel, it's not only a personal message and a particular message, it's a powerful message. What you need to fulfill your commission for the Lord is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Spirit's power, the work will continue and the work will be completed and God will bless it. Brethren and sisters, I put it to you this morning that the greatest need of the individual Christian for serving the Lord, and the great need for the church, is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power. O Spirit of faith, descend. Come in our midst, we pray. And like a mighty rushing wind, sweep over our souls today. It was the fullness of the Holy Spirit that saw the temple rebuilt and completed. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that saw the spiritual temple added to in the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls were saved. And in actual fact, what means did the Spirit use on the day of Pentecost? It was the preaching of Peter. The Spirit works through the preaching of the Word. And oh, that God would grant us to hear those words spoken to the New Testament church in Acts 1 and 8. Oh, that we'd hear them and experience them afresh. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. May He pour out the fullness of the Spirit afresh upon all His people as we seek to go forward in the work and service of the Lord. There's one final aspect of the preaching that led to the continuation in the work of the Lord. It not only exposed the sin of neglect and emphasized the need of the Spirit, it encouraged God's servants in the work. Preaching's not always the wound, and it shouldn't be. You turn back to Haggai chapter 1, you will see that verse 12, Haggai chapter 1 and verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord. We read that in Ezra chapter 5 and verse 2. They rose up. They didn't stone the preacher, the prophet, because he exposed their neglect. Rather, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. And they were stirred again to rebuild, recommence the building of the temple. And look at what it says in verse 12. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Now look at verse 13. Here's the encouraging bit. Then when they went back and recommenced the work, then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. When God's people obey His voice and are doing a service and a work for God, the Lord is with them. And He would encourage you to know, at times you may not feel The Lord is with you. At times you may question, is the Lord with us in this work? I felt that at times myself in the past, in particularly difficult situations. I'm thinking particularly in the early part of my own ministry, often wondering, Lord, are you with me? Are you in this work? Are you in this thing? Hard days in the south of Scotland, wondering. Others may tell you the Lord is not with you. The world may tell you the Lord is not with you. The world may say there's nothing of any substance in your work. It will come to nothing. And how is God in that? Here's the encouraging message that Haggai continued with. Once they obeyed the voice of the Lord and put their hand back to the work to rebuild the temple and to raise it up, the Lord gave them this word, I am with you in working for the Lord. And he repeated it. Look at chapter 2 of Haggai and the verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. The Lord saying to him, be strong in the work. The Lord's work at times needs us to be strong against the opposition and the difficulties that come our way. Oh, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord, according to the word that I covenanted with you. I am with you. When we're doing the Lord's work in the Lord's way, in obedience, we can be assured that the Lord will be with us. I want to finish this morning with this. I actually meant to make it in my previous point talking about the Spirit. But when the Lord is with us and the Spirit is working, the mountains are made a plain. Because in Zechariah 4 verse 7, the challenge is put forth, who art thou, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? And it's as if there was a mountain of obstacles and difficulties in his way. There were those in the land who opposed him. And they cried like spoilt children to the king to stop them working in the service of the Lord. And they tried to get the king to uphold a decree that would stop the building going forward. There were a mountain of problems. But with the Lord's presence and the Lord's power through His Spirit, that mountain, God said, thou shalt become a plain. The mountain was just removed. And the work went on. And friends, I say to encourage you, go on in the service of the Lord. By the power of the Spirit and the presence of the Lord, the mountains of obstacles and difficulties and problems, the Lord will make them the plain. Climbing the mountain is difficult. It's hard. And you'd much rather, if you're going on a journey, rather than seeing the mountain you have to go over, you'd rather see the plain, the straight road. But the Lord said, with the power of the Spirit and His presence, the mountain, you'll not have to climb over the mountain. He'll just make it a plain. May every problem and difficulty be made a plain by the power of the Spirit and the presence of the Lord. Be encouraged to continue to serve the Lord in the might